I remembered what I wanted to say. I just wanted to ask you to pray for Fran Harrison. She fell, hurt herself, and she couldn't be here today. And so please pray for her and pray for Marcy Crowbath. Amen. She's still battling cancer. And pray for Barry. He's still battling cancer. And just keep the people in prayer, okay? And maybe you could reach out, send a card, maybe whatever you'd like to, just reach out. Let them know you're praying for them, okay? Amen. All right, take your Bibles, please, and open them up to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Like I said, I have a real easy message for you today. Amen. So in Luke chapter, I don't know, are you going to put them up, Brian? Do you have them up? If not, I don't know. But there you go. Well, that's me. You don't need that. But from there, we're going to go to Exodus 33, just so you know. I don't know if it's going to be up. And then we're going to go to Psalm 107. So if you would please say amen when you're there so I know to start. We're going to look in Luke chapter 17, but I want to start in verse 20. Verse 20. Are we all there? It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. I want you to just stop and just let that sink in a little bit. They demand, when is the kingdom of God coming? It's almost like you saying, when am I going to get saved? Someone's like, when are you going to save me, Jesus? Well, nobody gets saved with that attitude. And the kingdom of God, you won't even see it with that attitude. But it goes on and it says, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we just read, whom we speak of, whom we have received, whom we love, whom we worship and whom we praise. He is our God and our King. We bow before him today and ask that he would be with us. For you said, where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I pray you'd walk among us tonight, today. I pray your spirit would just gently move upon us, stir our hearts for you, open our ears. Let us see things we didn't see. Let us hear things we didn't know. Let us, I pray, be attentive to the word of God. Help us today, Lord. Thank you for that song, that beautiful healing song, when a heart meets Jesus, Lord. We thank you for healing. We pray for the salvation of everyone that's in this room and everyone that may ever hear this little message or hear anything about God. We pray for their soul to be saved from hell, that they would have eternal, everlasting life, and that's only through faith in what you did on the cross. We love you, we praise you, we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to continue reading, if you don't mind, in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 22 is where we start our message. It says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Jesus is telling us, commanding us to remember something. He's telling us to remember what happened to Lot's wife, who was delivered from the death of Sodom and commanded by God not to learn to turn back, not to look back. And yet she did. She couldn't help herself. She had to look back at that wicked city, that filthy place, that disgusting error. And she had to look back, and I wonder how her heart felt as she turned and looked back, probably sad. Oh, my Sodom! Oh, my city! My home! She looked back, not looking forward where God was leading her, not looking forward where God was blessing her, not looking forward where God was saving her, but looking back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And this is an absolute true story. And Jesus told us, remember Lot's wife. Continue to read on and I'll get to the message. It says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And who shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, there the eagles shall be gathered together. I just want you to focus in on, remember Lot's wife. Because God tells us to remember some things in the Bible. And when we are told by God remembers Lot's wife, it was for a lesson. It was for us to learn something. Amen, Anton? And there's points in our lives where God's going to ask us, remember when? Remember back when? But let's forget our lives for now. Let's look in past history and look at what God did. Because God always told the Israelites, remember when I brought you out of Egypt? Remember when I had you cross the Red Sea? Remember when I had food come down from heaven? Remember when I chased your enemies away? Remember when your clothes didn't get old? Remember when I fed you and gave you water from a rock? Remember, 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 remember. And that's what he wanted them to remember, all the things that God had done for them, because God is good. And we have to remember that. But the devil also wants you to remember. And like we look back and we see God says, remember Lot's wife. God wants us to look back to remember things in the past so that we can learn from them in the future or learn from them in the present. The devil wants us to look back so that we'll feel down and regret and shame and sadness. And he wants us to come down where God wants us to go up. Amen to that? God wants us to remember the good things. Let me give you three things this message is. Three titles this message, or three things this message is. Remember God's goodness. Amen? Remember God's guidance. And the third is remember God's guarantee. Remember God's goodness. And I want to think about that as we say, God is good. And what do they say? All the time. And God wants us to remember that he is good. Even in Sodom and Gomorrah, even at the destruction of the entire city, he yet saved people out of it. Even with Noah and the destruction of the whole earth, he saved people out of it. And that's what's going to happen here on this earth. And he's telling us that the destruction of this earth is imminent, that the wrath of God is coming. He's going to pour out the vials of the wrath of God. The four horsemen are going to be unleashed. It is going to be the worst time, hell on earth. Hell is literally going to be open. Devils will be loosed. The Antichrist will rise. You think it's bad now? It's going to be real bad. But yet, people will be saved out of it. And that's why he's trying to tell us. He said, you better remember Lot's wife, because before she could even get to the place where she was supposed to be, she looked back. And in doing so, she was turned to a pillar of salt. And God wants you to realize that even in God's goodness, even in God's wrath, God is always good. Amen. And that's what he wants us to remember. God is good. I want you to turn with me, if you would, in Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33. Are they up there? I think it is. Amen. Oh, look at that. He wrote it up. I didn't even know you did that. I just wanted you to go to the verse. In Exodus 33, starting in verse 19, it says this, and God said, I will make my goodness pass before thee. I'll make my what? My goodness. You know why he said? He says, my body, me personally, is going to pass by. And when he said, Derek, that's goodness, because God is good. You cannot separate God from his goodness. God is good. Can someone say that? Can someone say amen with me? How about saying it with me? Ready? God is good. You got to remember that, because sometimes you seem to forget it. Moses said to God, God, I want to see you. I want to know your glory. I want to know you. And God says, Moses, I'm going to put you upon a rock, and there'll be a cleft in that rock. I'm going to hide you in that rock, and I'm going to put my hand behind you, on top of you. I'm going to walk by, because no one can look at my face and live. But you'll see my back parts. And this is the whole story here, with talking about remembering God is good. Look what God says about himself, verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. I want you to look over in chapter 34 in verse 5. It says, and the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. And what did God do? He proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generations. And I want you to realize that God, when you ask God, what do you like? He's going to say, I'm good. When you ask God, what do you like? He's going to say, I'm good. We say, God, but what do you really like? He's going to say, I'm good. What does that mean, I'm good? That means he's good all the time. That means even in the bad times, he's good. Even in your worst time, he's still good. And you can always go to God to get some good, because God's good. And we got to remember that God is good. And I want you to think about all the things that God has done for you. I think of it when he tells the people of Israel, remember how I brought you out of Egypt? You know what that means, right? Remember how I saved you from hell? Remember how I saved you from the grips of Satan? Remember how sin got you down and was taking you to hell? Remember I saved you? We're supposed to remember that God is good. Amen. You know, we ask people, we say, you know, how you doing? They say, better than I deserve. Or people say, I'm unworthy. You know, the song, I was blind, but now I see. I can't believe that God saved a wretch like me. And that's what it is. You got to remember that God saved you. Why? Because he's good. Amen. And his goodness. Right. God's good like all the time. Don't turn there, but in 2 Samuel 7, verse 28, it says, now, O Lord, thou art God. Thou hast promised this goodness unto your servant. And then in Psalm 23, we know it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over, and I love this part. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then when I die, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll tell you what, God is good. He's been good. He is good. He's going to continue to be good. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And you're going to participate in this. I want you to look at verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to look in 8, 15, and 21. You ready? It says in verse 1 and 2, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he's good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Even he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Have you been saved today from hell?
Amen.
Do you know that you're saved?
Amen.
Says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that this life is in his Son, Jesus. Jesus is offered when you think about the offering, on the sacrifice and the cross and what he did and what he bore and the pain and the suffering and the crucifixion and the absolute horrible torture that he endured. He did it all just to save us. He did it all. All we have to do is receive him by faith and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. And be honest about it. Be grateful about it. Amen. Too many people want to receive him without being honest and grateful about it. I just want to let you know that God is good. In Psalm 27, are you all there? I want you to read out loud with me in verse 8. Ready, everybody? Ready? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look in verse 15. Let's say it all out loud. I want to hear you louder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, ready? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. One more time, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think he's trying to tell us something, don't you? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. He's so good. We live a defeated and down life sometimes, Derek. I know your life isn't easy. I don't know anyone who is except the children. Their life's as easy as can be, and they complain all the time. I got to go to school. So what? You don't want to have to go to work and pay bills. Trust me. Jennifer, how you doing over there? I know life's not easy. I know it's not. But guess what? You're in church with your mom and dad. That's pretty awesome. That's first time in a long time. Amen. Get to be with your parents. Guess what? You're around people that love you. God loves you. God's giving you some promises. You've got to remember something. No matter how bad your life is or how hard it is, God's good. Amen. He's good. And that's why just get near him. Get around him. Because his goodness will come off on you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. And for his mercy that he shows me, this knucklehead sinner. You can add your name right in there any way you want. Amen, Anton. Oh, that me and Anton would praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy that saved wicked sinners like me and Anton. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and that his mercy that saved me and Anton and Zach, the worst of us all. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for his mercy that saved a serial killer like Ron. The only thing he kills is volts. Amen. Oh, that all y'all would praise the Lord for his goodness. You ought to do that all. Why? Because he's good. Amen. He's good. Number two, I want you to remember this, that not only to remember his goodness, but remember his guidance. God guides us. He has guided you. Look where he's got you. You might say, I don't like where you guided me. Well, he knows what you need. Amen. Because he did say he makes you lay down in green pastures. He didn't say you want to or you need to, or that you think you need to. He makes you. Do you understand? He leads you beside the still waters. If you are God's today, he is your shepherd. Amen. You are the sheep, the lambs of God. Just follow the Lord and he'll lead you. He'll guide you. I love it how on Sunday morning, he led you here this morning. Two in the back. I saw you sneak in. I don't know who you are. Can barely see you, but welcome and thank you for being here. I mean it. God led you here. I have no doubt. Ken, God led you here and your family. Charity, all the way from Paraguay, upside down back there, over there. They're like almost falling off the planet. God led you here. All of you, God's leading you. He's been leading you your whole life, I think. He's been leading you. You haven't been following. You've been stubborn. But when you learn that God is good and you learn that God has been guiding, you start to trust that leading. You start to trust that guiding and you start to stop doing it on your own. Amen. God guides us into the green pastures. God guides us down the paths of righteousness. Just a closer walk with him. Right? Amen. God guides us into the light. God guides us into the truth. God guides us into safety. How many people could say, oh, Pastor, I could tell you how many times I should have died. Amen. I can sit here and tell you story after story. God protected you. God guides you. He leads you. He protects you. He feeds you. He's done everything for you. But the one thing I can always count on is his guidance. I pray for his guidance. I need his guidance. And he's led me here to be the pastor of this church. He's led me to be the husband of my wife. He's led me to be the father and grandfather of children. He's led me to be your friends. And the same with you. He's led you throughout your life. You got to learn. You got to learn. He's good. Amen? Amen. Remember, he's good, right?
That's right. He is good.
Well, if he's good and he's leading you, stop stressing. Stop worrying out. Because you're exactly where he wants you to be. Amen. God led Israel, right, to the promised land. And what happened was, is he led them all. He brought them out of Egypt. He fed them food from heaven. He opened the waters, had them cross. He had it killed his enemies. He had fire at night, cloud in the day. He did absolutely everything for them and told them, follow me. I'm leading you to the land flowing with milk and honey. I'm leading you to the promised land. Right, Miss Millie? And they finally get to the edge of the promised land. And he says, now go send some spies out there. Check it out. See if everything I told you isn't true. And they go and they check it out and they come back. And they say, oh, man. This land is flowing with milk and honey. He said, the grapes of Eshcol grow. He said, they're this big, the grapes. He said, it is the best land I've ever seen. Man, trees and pomegranates and cucumbers and everything we could ever want. And God's like, told you. And then they said, yeah, but there's a lot of mean people over there. There's like walled cities and big giants over there. And there's no way that we can go in and get it because they'll hurt us. And then all of a sudden, two men, Caleb and Joshua, stood up and said, no, let's go now, right now. God led them all the way to the promised land, and they were afraid to go in. They were afraid. So you know what happened? They didn't trust God's leading. They didn't trust his guidance. So God brought them to somewhere, and they said, nope, I'm going this way. And I wonder how many people in your life that God's brought you ready to do something great, and you went, I don't like it that way. It's not what I think. That's why he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. You got to acknowledge, if you're afraid to take the next step, or you're afraid what tomorrow may bring, just remember, God's good. He's good tomorrow. He's good next week. You got to trust him. And that's the problem, is people get to that point where God's been guiding them and they forget God's good. Take the step of faith. Dude, just trust him where he's led you. He's guided you. Amen? And that's what happened. You know what happened to the people? All the children of Israel, that I'm talking million people. And there was 2 million, but 1 million of them at least wouldn't go in because they said, no, it's too hard. It's not what I wanted to do. I don't feel like fighting. I don't want to fight giants. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to, it's too hard. Kind of like some of you are going to say tonight at 6 o'clock, it's too hard. I can't come back to church again. Oh, babies. You missed Sunday school. Remember I was saying, remember that, Lisa? Babies. I was saying, imagine if I preached that message, a bunch of babies, because that's the Bible said. But anyway, they were afraid. And guess what happened to them? Guess what happened to them? God said, okay. Oh, really? You're not going to trust me? Get back in the wilderness. And they went around the wilderness for 40 years. Until they all died in the wilderness. And that's what I see in the churches today, is that people that God's good, and they'll say, God's good. And God's led them, right? And all of a sudden, God wants to take them into the promised land, or take them into the place that they're going to maybe have to fight for something good. And they say, nope, I don't like it here. And they go their own way, and they end up for the rest of their lives in the wilderness, never being fruitful, never being blessed, never having the promises of God upon them, never having the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. And they spend the rest of their lives as a Christian in the wilderness, and they die in the wilderness. And that's exactly what happens when you don't trust God's guidance. I'll tell you right now, God is leading all the time. Look in John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. Jesus says these wonderful words. You know, God's going to guide you in the year ahead. You know that, right? Thank you. God is going to guide you in this year coming up. God's going to guide you tomorrow. And just remember, God's good. So don't worry about tomorrow. Amen? He's guiding you and he's good. You know, come on. Amen, brother. John chapter 10, look in verse 11 with me. John 10, verse 11, Jesus says this. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Look in verse 26 with me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me.
Amen.
They follow me. Because you have a relationship with him. And you know that he's good. You know that he's kind. You know that he's merciful. You know that he's gracious. You know that he saved you. Amen.
Right.
You belong in hell, but yet you're never going to hell ever. You couldn't go to hell if you tried. When he saves, he saves. Amen. He doesn't kind of, hardly, little bit, mostly kind of saves. He saves. Amen. When God says you're saved, Ron, you're saved, brother. When God says you ain't going to hell, you're not going to hell. Amen.
Amen.
It's so good to be saved because I'm not like kind of hoping I'm saved. I'm saved all the way through. God says it's just like you're already seated with me in heavenly places. Amen. God is so good that not only did he save me, not only did he guide me, but he's guaranteed me some things. That's the thing. We got to remember God's good, his goodness. We got to remember his guidance. He's brought you this far. There's a thing in the Bible and a song called My Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Anybody know what Ebenezer means? It means hitherto has God brought us. The Jewish people were going and going through the deserts and going through dry lands and end up in different places. And they had banners, flags, and they would plant their flag down and they put it in the ground and say, here I plant my Ebenezer. And Ebenezer means hitherto has God brought me. Where I was and where I am, amen? I look back and I see where I was, Ron. I look back and I can see where you were. Amen? I look back, I can see where you were. I look back and I don't know where you were, Ron. Bob, you can tell me. I can look back and I can see where you were, young lady. And where you were and where you were. And you, even you, Millie, saved it probably at 3. How old were you? 8? 10. Okay, you were really wicked back then at 10. My point is that God saved you from something, amen? And if you're anything like me, you know what you were saved from. And I look at where I'm at now. I don't care what your past is. Look where you're at now. You're in charge, for crying out loud. You're in charge. You ain't no Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, or Episcopal church. You're in a fire and brimstone preaching Baptist church. How'd that happen? How in the world did that happen? God. Hitherto has God brought you. You might say, that guy talks too long. Yeah, I do. That guy's too loud. I am. I don't like the preaching. Sorry. But God brought you here.
Amen.
And you got to trust him. Because he's good. And he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get you into that promised land.
Right.
And I don't mean heaven. I mean here on earth.
Amen.
He said the kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
Stop looking for something out there. And start looking for someone in here.
Amen. Right.
Stop looking for what if. If only I had this. If only I had that. All you need is him in here.
Amen.
And you can have him if you call upon him and ask him. And that's where the kingdom of God starts, in here. Jesus said it doesn't come from observation. It comes from the kingdom of God is within you. Amen. And when you have a king within you, guess what? When you have a king within you, what do, Linda? You obey the king. And the king leads you, and he guides you, and he empowers you, and he takes care of you. And there's no greater place to be than in the presence of the king or at being a servant of the king. Because the servants of the king get well taken good care of. Amen?
Amen.
The servants of the king get a guy coming out to fix your heater. And he doesn't even charge you. Don't tell him I said that. And we have a guy coming out to fix your air conditioner in the middle of the night. Another guy comes out and fixes your plumbing. We have another guy that fixes your electricity. Another guy, I mean, God just takes care of you. I got a check the other day in the mail, almost didn't open it because it was in an envelope that I never recognized. You know, you get junk mail, like trying to sell you stuff. And I saw it and I put it on. I'm like, okay. 2 days later, I said, let me check it. It was a big check inside from Carl Forcello. God bless Carl. I know. I'm just saying. Out of the blue, a check. Big one. Paid all the bills. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, I was shocked. And I'm like, he doesn't come here. I never see him, never talk to him. I got another check two weeks ago, from a lady named Miriam from Lancaster. It was a couple weeks back. It was like $600. I was like, you got to be kidding me. It's like money coming down from heaven. I don't know where it came from. I don't even really see the people. I don't understand. God takes care of it. And it's not my money. It's the church's money. It paid our bills. Amen. And I know right now I'm hot. I could use some air conditioning about now, this warm weather. But God has been good. He's guided us. He's taken care of us. He gives you everything you ever need. And that's what you have to understand, that he gives you a guarantee with it. Can I, just so I can finish, say God is good right now.
God is good.
Say God is guiding.
God is guiding.
God's giving you a guarantee. Let's look at that and we'll finish. He's giving you a guarantee on it. Look with me if you would, please. The guarantees from God are really good. Look, if you would, in John chapter 10, since I think you're closer there. John chapter 10, look in verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all." Amen. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one," Anton. He said, once you're in the hand of God, he guarantees you can't even get out. You can't jump out, drill out, dig out. The devil can't get you out. The angels can't get you out. Life can't get you out. In another place, Apostle Paul said, whether life or death doesn't matter. You can't get out of the hand of God. Amen. Where God goes, you go. I like that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Guess what? Turn with me to John chapter 14, since you're real close. John 14, verse 1, look what it says. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let me ask somebody before we finish. Is there someone in this room today that's a little bit troubled? Got some things going on in your life? You're a little troubled. That's okay. I want you to let your fears turn into faith. I want that troubling to just think about this. God's good. God's guiding you. And God's going to guarantee that it's going to work out. Look what it says in verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?" Let me ask, I'm asking right now so we can finish, but I want to hear an answer. Young boy, young guys and girls, do you believe in God?
Yes.
I don't want it to be only Tony. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Do you really believe in God?
Yes.
Well, Jesus said, "Believe in me." And he said, look what he says. "In my Father's house are many mansions." If your Bible says rooms, put it on the shelf and get yourself a real Bible, King James Bible, because you can have a room. I'm getting a mansion. Amen. Look what it says. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." What's he say? "I go to prepare a place for you, Jen." And he says, he's a carpenter. He framed the worlds. Think about your mansions. Call me nice. Yo, brother, I'm just here to tell you, Mr. Dan the man, Superman Dan, I call him. He flies in and saves the day. All those things that you've done for churches all over the place. He goes to church. Every time I call him, "Yeah, I'm at this church. I'm at that church." I'm like, "You charge him?" He goes, "Nah." I know. So all those times you did it for God, that mansion's getting bigger every day, brother. I can't wait to see my swimming pool and my lake and my house. I'm telling you. He's building us a place. Keep reading. Look what it says. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," what's he say? "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Thank you for that guarantee. And "whether I go, you know." And "where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "I'm Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said these wonderful words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You believe in God? Believe also in Jesus. Amen. I want you to think about this. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Amen. We do know that God is the God of tomorrow. God's the God of next month. He's the God of next year. He's the God of eternity. Amen. If God's given you a guarantee that he's got you in his hand, and where I go, you go. Amen. And nothing and no one can take you away from me. And when you do die, whenever that is, you're going to be with me forever in a mansion. Amen. I don't know about you. That's that song. "I got a mansion just over the hilltop in that great land where we'll never grow old. We'll never grow old. And one day yonder, I'll never more wander. I'll walk on streets that are pure as gold." Amen. And I'll tell you right now, I got a guarantee from God where I'm going, Bob. Guarantee from God. Do you have a guarantee from God? You got to remember that. But there's also other guarantees. I think about and guarantees in life. Not many things are really guaranteed. I did roofing. I gave 10-year guarantees. I gave 15-year guarantees. I made mistakes in giving longer guarantees sometimes. But I always honored my guarantee only because of the person that I was. Most guarantees aren't really guarantees. Like, you know, your job's not guaranteed, is it? Our freedom in this country is not even guaranteed. Our friends aren't guaranteed. Our health's not guaranteed. Our wealth, our money, our retirement's not even guaranteed. Our Social Security's not even guaranteed. This life has expiration dates. Amen? You can't. I bought so many foods, Ms. Linda, before Costco. Don't go to Costco. It's like they make you pay money to shop at my store. I don't get it. Like here, I got to pay them money to shop. And then when you buy, you got to buy a lot. And so a lot of the stuff goes bad. I'm like, forget this, man. I'd rather get Giant and go every day like Tony does. Right, Tony? Tony goes to market every day. I don't do that. I just said I'd like to do that. But I've had food spoiled. I've had food I put in the refrigerator. Anybody have a refrigerator in the basement? Yeah, I call it the black hole. Once it goes down, everyone forgets it's there. And then sometimes it grows mold and crawls out. It has an expiration date. My wife, I don't really look at them. My wife looks at all the expiration dates. And, oh, it's expired. I'm like, so what? Give it to me. I'm eating it anyway. No, but it was 2019. That's okay. Give it to me. I don't care. But everything comes with an expiration date except God. God, there's no expiration date. He's God forever. The same yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't have an expiration date. And when he gives you a guarantee, you can guarantee on it. But he also gives other guarantees. Turn with me and we'll finish to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're looking for a guarantee in this world, good luck. We're not even guaranteed tomorrow, the Bible just said. But I'll tell you what I am guaranteed by God, that nobody can take me out of his hand. I'm guaranteed that God is good, amen, no matter what happens. I'm guaranteed that God is guiding, and I'm guaranteed that God has given us a guarantee of eternal, everlasting life, and no one can stop that, amen. What a great thing. Thank you, Jesus. But he also gives us another guarantee. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 10. It says this, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, why they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There's so many people will just not get saved because they just won't believe. Isn't that crazy? Look what it says. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That lie he's talking about is the mark of the beast. The Antichrist is going to rise, but he cannot rise while we're here. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're the preservation of this world. Once the Christians are taken off this planet like Jesus promised, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. The Bible says, and when we are alive and remain, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. I'm going to be immortal. Amen. And so are you if you've got Christ. Amen. God is immortal. I'm going to be immortal. That blows my mind. But it's a guarantee by God. You know why? Because God's good. And God's been guiding. And he guarantees it. Amen. Amen. I love it. He guarantees it in writing. He guarantees it in his blood. And he also gave some guarantees about other things that's going to happen if you don't get saved. Get saved today. What does being saved mean? It means you realize the truth of the gospel of Christ. That Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. That Jesus had to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, which is us. Do you understand that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means seeing God. It says the wages of your sin is death and separation from God forever and ever in a place called hell. And then after that, the judgment and then the lake of fire forever. Yep. It's a guarantee it's happening. So you got to guarantee you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. Which one do you want to do? Seriously, let's make a choice right now. Which one do you want to do? You want to guarantee heaven or you want to guarantee hell? Come on. I want to be serious. Yeah, you better. I'm not playing around. You better not play around. There's only one way to get into heaven. Jesus said, I'm that way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So when we bow our heads in a moment, you better call upon the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
No religion on earth can save you. No church on earth can save you. The churches and religions are supposed to point you to Jesus. Only He can save.
Right.
2 Thessalonians, look in chapter 1 and I'll finish. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. It's a guarantee. You're guaranteed hell or you're guaranteed heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and they'll be looking around. God's given you a guarantee, and He's good. He'll never, ever lie. And I'm going to ask you to do exactly what God wants you to do right now. I want you to play some music, Brian, if you could. I want you to do whatever the Spirit of God is telling you to do right now. Please stand to your feet and every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe someone would like to come out to this old-fashioned altar. If you're not sure, if you're not sure that if you died right now that you would go to heaven, that you are eternally in God's hand, come here. Come down. I'll open the Bible and show you in 2 minutes the promises of God, the guarantee in His word in writing that He said He cannot lie and He will give you eternal life. Maybe you've forgotten how good God is. Maybe this message was just to remind you, ain't God good? Amen. To give us so many blessings, undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him. A little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Maybe you forgot that God's been guiding you and you're ready to jump and go your own way, do your own thing. Stay the course. Stay the path. Let God lead you and guide you down that path of righteousness for His name's sake, because He's good. And God right now has given you a guarantee of eternal life. A guarantee from God of heaven. A guarantee of guidance, of love, of His Spirit. How many people can say with an upraised hand, God, I want that guarantee. Raise your hand if you want God's guarantee. Raise that hand high. Let Him see it. Say, God, give me that guarantee of eternal life. I thank You, God. I thank You for the love that You showed us on the cross. I thank You for Jesus who died for the lost. I thank You for His blood that paid for my sin. I thank You for salvation that comes from within. I thank You for Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. When you see Him, you see the Father. And no one can take us out of His hands. Why don't we today do what it says? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Oh, God, You are so good that You save a wretch like me. You save the sinner like me. God, save everyone in this world. Help them all to be saved, that the guarantee of hell would not be meant for them, but the guarantee of heaven. Help us, Lord God, to get the message out, to get the gospel out, to give gospel tracts out that show the way of salvation. Would You, Lord God, I pray, save the soul that's nearest hell. Give eternal life. Give eternal, everlasting life to all those that call upon You, all those that trust You and believe in You. God, You're so good. You're so good. Thank You for guiding me so far. Thank You for bringing me from where I was to where I am now. And one day I'll be in heaven and I can plant my Ebenezer in heaven. Say, God, You brought me here to heaven. You brought me because You're my God and my King. Thank You, Jesus, for leading us, for guiding us, for teaching us. Thank You for the guarantee of heaven and home. Lord, would You please give us the peace that passes all understanding right now. Fill our hearts with the love and the joy of the Lord, knowing that You are good. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen.